The question was asked, how can one make their prayer meaningful? How can one feel like they're doing something meaningful? And I think there are a few components that can help. Number one is preparation. I should know what I'm about to say. I shouldn't just run into tefillah. And that means that even if I showed up late, if I take a minute to focus on what I'm doing, my tefillah will be different. That preparation is worth more than saying another paragraph. As the Shulchan Aruch writes, Tov me'at b'chavana, it's better to say less while having intent, meharbot, rather than saying a lot, below kavana, without any intent. So taking that pause before tefillah is pivotal. That's number one. Number two, a person should try and write their own tefillah. Don't walk into davening and just say what Chazal told us to say. You have things that are important to you in your life, so they should be a part of your tefillah. And I want to take three examples. The obvious one are things that we need, right? So the first example is obvious. We all know we have our needs, we have our wants, we have our desires, we have our dreams. Okay, that's easy, that's obvious. But I want to take two other examples that we might not have thought of. I met a friend of mine who, he's much older than me. I mean, he's like 15, 20 years older than me. And I asked him, how are you doing? He says, great. I said, I haven't seen you in years. He says, right. I said, what's been going on? He says, well, he tells me, ever since we last met, which was almost a decade ago, he's had cancer, and he buried one of his children. So I stood there dumbfounded. He just said, great, with such enthusiasm. I didn't know how to respond. So he says to me, you know, as he was sitting on the in the shiva over the child that he lost, he said to himself, how many times did I thank Hashem for the other children I have? So I gulped, like that's what he's thinking in his shiva. And he says to me, I decided then that every Shmona Esrei, every time I come into Shmona Esrei, I will pause in Modim and think of one more thing to thank Hashem for. One more blessing in my life that I never thanked Hashem for. He said, I realized that I have so many blessings in my life that I never said thank you for. And so I force myself three times a day to stop in my Modim and think of one more thing to thank Hashem for. So he comes out of tefillah a different person. And I want to give another example that people usually don't think about. When we think about making our tefillah personal and adding our own requests, so we know when we pray about parnasah, about our livelihood, yeah, I have what to ask for. When we pray about healing, everyone knows they have what to ask for. But do we also have what to ask for when it comes to saying thank you? Can I add something personal in that? That's also a part of tefillah. And another part of tefillah that we sometimes overlook how personal it can be is slach lanu, when we ask Hashem for forgiveness. If a person were to pause when he says that and stop and think about the things they regret they did that day, they revealed someone's secret, they said slander, there are things we do. I mean, I'm sure we're all tzaddikim, but we still have things that we regret when we reach Shmona Esrei, right? Then we would walk out of tefillah and be a better person. So adding in our tefillah and making it personal is about the things that are important to us, and it's not only our requests. It's also our aspirations, it's our weaknesses, it's our frustrations, it's our hope, it's our thank you also. Another thing that helps make tefillah meaningful is finding a place to daven. Sometimes you will get your meaningful tefillah if you go into the woods. When I ran a day camp many years ago, so when fast days came, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, I took the kids outside and we went into the forest, and every kid was given 15 minutes to have their own tefillah, their own time to talk to their Ribono Shel Olam. Sometimes people never do this their whole life. That means the only tefillah they've experienced is in shul and writing what Chazal said. Wait a second, let's do something personal. Let's do something that expresses me. So you might want to write a tefillah. You might not want to write a tefillah, but go out there. Have some time alone with your Creator. Another thing that very often helps is finding an environment that is conducive to tefillah. 15 years ago, I used to go to Rabbi Halberstam, who was on the Badat Zedah Haredis. I used to go to him with questions. I used to learn by him. And in order to get in to see him, you had to show up like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning and sign up on the door. They had the sign-up sheet with 20 slots. So I travel out to Mea Shearim at 6:30, write my name on the door, and then I'd go to Hasidus Shul next to where he had his room. And I'd walk into this Hasidus Shul, and when they daven, everyone's yelling. So you're standing in a shul, and all around you there's yelling, people I don't know. So I could put my talus over my head, and I could start yelling. I'm not to be embarrassed about it. Right over here, if I did that, what kind of looks I'd get? I couldn't do that here. But if I'm going to a place where no one knows me, and I could put the talus over my head, and it's an environment that's different than what I'm used to, I used to sometimes ask myself if I got more from my davening there or from asking him the questions, because the experience of being in that minyan was an experience which, to me, was enriching and uplifting. And now you find it in different places. Some people find it at the Kotel. Some people find it by the Tome of David HaMelech. Some people find it by the shul across the street from the shuk. Some people find it in Machon Meir. Some people find it in a Sephardi minyan. Some people in a Yemenite minyan. Some people go to the Bell's shul on Shabbat, where you have 1,000 people singing together, and that's what inspires them. It's good to have moments of inspiration. And then we sometimes can catch them. It's like catching a wave, and hold on to them. One of the things I recommend you guys do is find a meaningful place to daven on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Go to a place that tefillah, that when you're in an environment where other people are excited about tefillah, very often you can get excited about tefillah. So we can't always choose the shul we daven in every day. But it's important to have times of inspiration, and very often that helps us connect at other times.
What was the difference between the place of davening and the environment?
It's two different things. Sometimes a place can affect us. You stand by Kever Rachel, Rachel's tomb. It has nothing to do with the people around you. The place can affect you. Sometimes it's the people, the type of shul, the type of people davening. It's two different things. I also recommend getting a siddur. Not only owning your own siddur, but switching siddurim. I switch siddur every year. And this way, when I have free time during davening or my mind's wandering, I learn that commentary on tefillah. And that helps me because there are things I don't understand in my tefillah. And when I get a good commentary, so later on it affects my whole tefillah. So there's Art Scroll, there's Rabbi Soloveitchik's commentary printed in the Koran. I don't know what resonates with you, but there are many commentaries in English. I would also recommend that at least part of your tefillah should be in a language that you understand and feel comfortable in. So how can you connect if you don't know what you're saying?